You have found the Runaround Iowa, the podcast that's dedicated to news and interviews with the athletes, coaches, and personalities who are making headlines in college cross country, track and field, road running, trail running, and triathlon in the state of Iowa. And now from the home office in Clive, here is your host, Lance Bergeson. Hello, everyone. You have found the Runaround Iowa, the podcast dedicated to distance running and triathlons in the state of Iowa. On this show today, I've got reports from the Razorback Invitational. Iowa and Iowa State were both there. The Milrose Games had a couple athletes competing there. Friday Night Lights, you and I was at that meet hosted by Wartburg College, and much, much more, as well as an appearance by former Iowa State All Big 12 athlete Abby Caldwell. She will talk about Iowa State's performance. So a lot to get to. We didn't have the fireworks that last week had, where it was, seemed like there was facility records and school records set everywhere. Wasn't quite as big of a weekend, but there was an Iowa State senior who definitely put her name well into the record books. It was that standout Big 12 cross-country champion several times over. That's Kaylee Logue. She was the dominant performer for Iowa State at that Razorback Invitational in Fayetteville on Saturday. It was a good duel between her and Oklahoma State's Gabby Henteman. Three laps to go, they kind of separated from a really good field. But it was Logue who held off Henteman to win in a personal best time, knocking 7 seconds off her previous best. She runs 9:03:49 for 3,000 meters on that 200-meter Mondo track. That time is number two in Iowa State history. She now only looks up at one runner, and it's quite a great one, the four-time NCAA champion, Lisa Cole, now Lisa Ewell, who ran 8:56:09 at the Big 12 Championships way back 12 years ago. So great running for Kaylee Logue. That time of, like I said, 9:03:49 is number six nationally for her. And so coming off a really good weekend last weekend, where she ran the 1,000 meters and the mile, finishing second and third, just another great performance there. She wasn't the only Cyclone who did really well in this race. It was Dana Fahan, the junior, who set a personal best time of 9:22:46 to finish sixth. Ashley Tutt, the transfer from Northern Illinois, was 13th in 9:37:12. She is a junior. And that was Brenna Cohoon, sophomore, in 9:46:33 for 16th. And then Taylor Briggs, freshman, was right behind her in 17th in 9:48:35. Anytime you can break 10 for 3,000, I think that's a really good time there. As for, well, let's go to the men's side of things at the Razorback Invitational, where it is just a really fast track. A lot of national qualifiers every year set on that track. You had former Gilbert High standout Thomas Pollard, who notched a big personal best time in the 3,000 meters, 7:54:37, to take 10th in a very stacked field. He is now number six on the all-time Iowa State list. With that effort, he knocks Dan Kurtz down to seventh. And the only people that are ahead of him are John Nuttall, 7:52 from 1991, Andrew Jordan, 7:51, the UW Invitational in Washington in 2019, Raph Wins at Gainesville, Florida in 86, 7:49, Edwin Kurgat, former Big 12 Conference cross-country champion, 7:49:19 at Milrose Games 2020, 2 years ago, and then Wesley Kiptoe at this same Razorback Invitational last year, 7:48:36. So those are all the cyclone times there in the 3000. So congratulations to Thomas Pollard in his final season with Iowa State, putting himself well into that top 10 list. And that's, you know, going to be hard to knock him off over the years there. Finishing 18th in that race also, Gable Sierpada, former Central Lion GLR prep. He also ran a PR of 807.85 to finish 18th in that race, a race won by Oklahoma State's Alex Meyer in 7:46.61. Shows you that the Cowboys are going to be a factor in the Big 12 with the distance rate running there. In the women's 600, I'm going to go over there. Iowa, like I said, was competing here as well. And freshman Jaden Itzen gets the victory in 1:31.07 in a personal best time. And then you had another freshman, Claire Pitcher, who's been with the program a couple years now. She ran 1:32.64 for second. And then Lainey Fitzpatrick, that's a name that I haven't mentioned, but she is a former Davenport Assumption prep who runs a very good time. And she is a freshman as well, 1:33.23, a personal best time for her in that 600. So the Hawkeye sprinter is doing well. Women's 800. I'm going to again jump over to Iowa here. Mallory King, the Hawkeye senior, in her last go-around with the indoor season, former Davenport Assumption prep, she was the leader among the Iowa and Iowa State runners. She was 10th in 207.74 in a season best time. And then Pitcher, she ran both the 6 and the 800. She ran 210.80 as a season best time for the freshman. And she was 15th. Grace Buchanan-Nospisch, former Ottumwa High runner, a freshman for Iowa, second year in the program, 2:14.36. She ran for 19th place. And I didn't even mention Missouri was there, and former Dowling Catholic runner Kelsey Schweizer, the sister of Carissa, the Olympian. She was 21st for Missouri in 2:16.34. And she's in her junior season with Missouri. And Iowa State did have a performer here in the race. Former Mount Vernon Lisbon runner Maggie Davis is in her senior year with Iowa State. Runs 2:16.42 for 22nd place. And the winner was Adidas's Brooke Feldmeyer, who set a meet record running 2:00.92. In the women's mile, Iowa State had 6 of their 7 runners in that race all set personal bests. And leading the way was former Glenwood High runner Jeanette Schraft. Jeanette finished 10th in 4:46.88. Really strong time for Jeanette. Madeline Hill, who is from the Kansas City area, a junior, was right behind her in 11th in 4:48.45. That's also a personal best for Hill. Then Iowa was represented next by Amber Asoff, a freshman, and she's a former Sioux City Helan prep. And she, with that time of 4:48.66, is now 10th in the Iowa record books all time. With that PR for her. And Joy Woody, the director of track and field, had this to say about Amber. We saw some great things in Amber's training and racing last season, but it just took a little time in getting into the right races to show what she's capable of this season. She's a great competitor. So good running for her. And Iowa State was next. Bella Hikas, a freshman, also with a personal best, 4:50.38 to finish 15th. Then it was next Iowa. Emma Gordon, former Ankeny Centennial prep, finished 17th in 4:51.29. That's a personal best time for Emma. Riley Beach of Iowa State, 4:54.52 in a personal best time for the freshman. And then it was Northern Iowa transfer, Kiki Connell running for Iowa State in her second meet for the Cyclones. Former Charles City prep runs 4:59.98, just breaking 5 minutes for the first time in a personal best time. So she's notching down her time there in that race. The only Cyclone who didn't set a personal best time was sophomore Sarah Murrow, who was 25th behind Connell, running 5:01.71. The men's 600, this is really good efforts here. Spencer Gudgel, a sophomore for Iowa, gets the victory. He's from Carmel, Indiana. A 1:17.53, good effort there to get the victory. Look for some good things for him at the Big Ten indoors. Good time for the sophomore. He tops USC's Sam Van Dorp by just about 0.6 of a second. Van Dorp runs 1:18.10. So Gudgel gets the victory. It was Philip Jefferson, a freshman for the Hawkeyes, running 1:18.52, a personal best time there, to finish fourth. Armando Bryson, another freshman, fifth in 1:19.71. And like I said, the Hawkeyes could do very well at the Big Tens with these middle distance / 400 type of runners there. And then for Iowa's Josh Andrews, who runs 1:22.37 for 10th place. Josh is a junior and a former Waukee High runner for Urbandale. And then for Iowa State, Peter Smith, a sophomore, is 11th in 1:22.74. In the men's 800, Iowa with another strong performance here as Antonio Abrego, freshman for the Hawkeyes, runs 1:49.22 for third place. He topped Alexander Lamong of Iowa State. Lamong, a senior, was 1/100 of a second behind Abrego in fourth. 1:49.23 was his time. That's a personal best for Lamong. Then you had Jason Hoffman, a freshman for Iowa, 7th in a personal best, 1:50.18. Then it was Alex Still, who is an Iowan, former Woodbury Central of Mobile athlete. He was 8th in 1:50.25. Darius Kipyego of Iowa State, 15th. He ends up, the freshman runs 1:51.36 for 15th. Jason Gomez, entering his second season with the Cyclones, 16th. The junior who qualified for Nationals Outdoors, 1:51.42 for Gomez. He really had a great indoor season last year, so a little bit surprising for him. Let's see if he picks it up here as the season moves on. And then Tyler Olson, a junior for Iowa, former Muscatine prep, 1:51.51 for 17th place. That's how the men's 800 shook out. And the winner was Stanford freshman John Lester, 1:48.90. So very close there, first, second, and third. In the men's mile, Iowa State and Iowa had some representatives there. Nehemia Tu, the senior for Iowa State, was the leader there, 4:04.61. He finished 10th. You come close to breaking 4 minutes, and you only get 10th. That's how good the quality of the field was. Ezekiel Kibichi of Iowa State, a sophomore, was 15th in 4:05.86. Then it was Iowa State sophomore Kelvin Bungie, a transfer from Iowa Central. He's in his first season with the Cyclones, was 24th in 4:10.23. And then I mentioned this guy's name already, Dan Kurtz, who got knocked down by Thomas Pollard in the 3000 all time at Iowa State. He was running unattached. He was 29th in 4:12.06. And I know Kurtz is located out east around the Vermont, Connecticut area out there now, where he grew up. And then Cal Lewis of Iowa. The freshman ran 4:13.63. And then Nate Muller, who was a standout at ADM of Adel last academic year, a true freshman for the Cyclones, was 35th in 4:14.87. And that's how the very fast Razorback Invitational went there. The Melrose Games took place at the Armory in New York City. And we had an Iowa State and Drake runner both there. It was Wesley Kiptoe, who was in the Dr. Sander Men's 3,000-meter Invitational. This is their big 3K for this meet. A lot of pros here in this race, and Kiptoe just never really could get to the front. It was a quick pace right off the bat, and he mentioned on Instagram it just wasn't his day. He just didn't have it, and that there's better days ahead, basically, is what he said. Still ends up 11th, the number. He was second out of three collegians in that race. So he runs 7:55.53. And I looked it up. He's outside the top 16 for USA Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association with his time so far for the 3,000. So he's going to have to move up a little bit to make nationals if he wants to double in the 3 and the 5K. And then the Michael Bloom Invitational Mile, which is the second biggest mile for the men at this race behind the Wanamaker Mile. But it was Adam Fogg, the Drake athlete from Australia, who was invited to run in this. And he miraculously ended up ninth despite falling on the final lap. Got tangled ended up falling, and still ends up running 4:07.45 despite that. So, and he mentioned on Instagram that life is like a box of chocolates, he says. That's what he said. So you never know what you're going to get, basically, is what he's saying, from the Forrest Gump movie, of course. So I think he can write it off, but a great experience for him, yeah, certainly if he wants to be a professional runner someday, and I think he's got a great shot at it. Good experience for him running against all these top-level athletes. Shane Strike, by the way, the Atlantic Track Club was the winner in 3:57.98. Gordy Beamish was the winner of that Dr. Sander 3000. And I'm going off memory, but I believe it was 7:39. It was a really phenomenal time. He set a New Zealand record in that race there. And that was the way the Melrose Games went. I do want to mention that in the Wanamaker Mile, it was former Iowa runner Eric Sawinski who was pacing that race and doing a stellar job. As always, Eric is. He's still living and training in Iowa City. And with that, it is time for the segment I like to call...
Well, what about Bob?
What about Bob?
Yes, and it is that time to talk Iowa State track and field with former Waverly Shellrock star and all Big 12 athlete, Abby Caldwell. Hello, Abby.
Hi.
How are things with you?
Things are good. Yeah, things are good. The sun is shining today. It's like 60 degrees here in Colorado, so it's great.
Yeah, we had about 20 degrees and partly cloudy.
So. Yeah, I've been hearing from my parents. It's been pretty cold there, so.
Tomorrow's supposed to be better. We're recording this on Sunday, so tomorrow's supposed to be warmer. We're supposed to get your weather tomorrow.
So. Good.
We'll get that coming. So, yes. So let's lead off with your girl here, Kaylee Lowe.
Oh my gosh, she did so good this weekend.
Picks up a victory at Fayetteville in a really good battle against Oklahoma State's Gabby Henteman. Number two time in Iowa State history, bumping off somebody named Betsy Sena from 2013. So that's good company.
Yeah. I know that's been one of Kaylee's goals since she's gotten here was, I mean, the records for the Iowa State women's distance, they're insane. I mean, we've got Lisa Yule and Betsy Saina and all these amazing runners. So I know that it's always been one of Kaylee's goals to get close to those, and for her to get number two this past weekend in her opener for a 3K too, is that's very impressive. So yeah, I know that I think she'll be trying to break that 9-minute mark this season, which I, after this opener, I definitely think is possible.
That's possible. Yeah. Now she's only got, like you said, Lisa Coles, 8:56.09 from 2010 ahead of her now from this. So it's a little bit of doing there to beat that, but it's still a PR of 7 seconds yesterday.
Yeah.
So it really makes a difference when you've got, when you've got somebody pushing you too, that's gotta help.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma State gal, in a really good battle there. So how much was the help the week before when she, at the Cyclone Open, she ran, two really good efforts there, in the mile and the thousand. She ran the thousand, very strong there, making the top 10 list, for Iowa State.
Yeah. So I think that, Coach Amy actually did this with me a few times too, and it works. Like, for certain people it works, and obviously for me and Kaylee it works, but like having that speed work close to like when you know that you wanna like lots of times, like there's a if you want to have a breakthrough race, it always worked for me to go under distance the week before to feel that speed and that like different type of lactic, right? And sure. So I think that Coach Amy set it up perfectly for Kaylee, because she did like the speed work, and it was a rust buster for Kaylee, and she still did amazing, but it was like her first races of the season, and it was faster. Like, she's going at a faster pace than she would in a 3K. So like, then you come and you run the 3K and it feels easier. Totally doable, because you just had a harder, like a faster race. So you're not going as fast, you're going longer. It's still really freaking hard, but it's, I don't know. It just like works for, it works. Like whatever Coach Amy, like her thought process on things like that works. So it was really like, I think a big part of that goes to Coach Amy deciding to run her in two faster events the week before.
Yeah. Not just to run one, but to do both of them. Kind of have that bounce back, see if you can do it. Mm-hmm. And she's now 8 and 7 in respectively all time in Iowa State history with those efforts.
Yeah.
2:46 and then a 4:42 mile. So,
yeah.
Really good. Looking forward to see what she'll do at Big 12s moving forward. So a lot of other great performances at the Razorback Invitational. You had, we'll continue with the women.
Okay.
You know, Jeanette Traft of Glenwood runs a 4:46. Really strong time there. Is that kind of, from what you saw of her as her teammate last year, is that kind of her best race, the mile? Is that kind of?
I think, well, she obviously does the steeple, in outdoor, but I think like she leans more towards the fat. Okay. So like for steeple, you kind of like either are like a good, you're like 3K, 5K and you do the steeple, or you're like mile 3K and you do the steeple. And I think Jeanette does more of like mile, like she's got more speed than I would have. And so like, she's a solid miler. Like I could see her scoring in the Big 12 in the mile. For sure. Yeah. So, yeah. So I think that, she's one of our strongest milers. So to see that result wasn't surprising at all. Like I knew it was all, I think she can even go faster, you know, like, so that was, was good. That was like, that was a really good, performance though.
You have 5 Cyclones breaking 5 minutes. Is this something where they're going to pick up a lot of points here at Big 12s that they're looking to, you know, get, 3 or 4 scoring? Is that
it'll be interesting because I don't know. I think the Big 12 is just really deep in that event that I don't even, like, I think you'd have to break 450 to score.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it depends because championship races are so tactical anyway. So you don't typically run fast at championship races. But, like, you know, Oklahoma State has three girls that are running just as fast, you know. And there's probably a West Virginia girl. There's, you know, like, it'll be interesting, though. But it's exciting to have. I feel like it's going to be hard for coach to decide what the women are going to do, like where she's going to put our women to score the most points, because you don't want to just beat each other either, you know, like, cause you want to score as many points as you can. So you want to, like, okay, this person could run here or here, you know, like it's a lot. I'm so glad I'm not in the position to make that decision.
Well, they've still got they got 4 weeks here to decide. So they've still got, including the Iowa State Classic. So they've got a little bit of time here to kind of figure things through. Thomas Pollard, a good friend of yours, huge PR in the 3000. And he ends up 10th. Now that shows you the quality of the depth at Fayetteville.
Uh-huh.
Despite running 7:54, you know, he ends up 10th, but that still knocks him, puts him on the list here all time. He's right, knocking off Dan Kurtz, so he's number 6 all time now.
Yeah, and was this his first time breaking 8 minutes in the 3K?
I think so.
I thought so too, I think every race this year, someone's going to, like, have a breakout race. And it's exciting to see who it's going to be, you know? Like, Thomas all cross-country season was super solid, you know? And then, like, for him to break 8 minutes is so exciting. And so I think whatever they're doing in Ames is working. Like, the coaching style, the workouts, the racing plan. I think the atmosphere has a huge part in, like, people's success. Like, I feel like everyone is showing up, and I know that there's been a change in like the environment, and I think that's got to play a part in it, you know.
I thought Gable might be a little closer to him. He ran 8:07, still a nice PR, but thought he might be closer to Thomas there. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I always, like, I think all season they've been so close to each other. I think part of that is, like, it was a really deep field. And I think sometimes, I mean, Thomas has been around for a long time. And so I think it's easier in those situations to perform really well when you've had so much experience with it, you know? Like, Gable's still young in racing years. I know he's, like, a senior this year, technically, but he's raced, like, one indoor season. So,
but athletically, he's, like, a sophomore, right?
Yeah. So, I think that, like,
crazy COVID helping.
Right. And so, I think that him, like, even just, like, getting a PR, you know, is big. And he's had a really solid, like, few months. So, like, they probably have to be a little bit more careful too, because he is so young in racing years, you know, to not have him burn out or anything for outdoor, because his main event is an outdoor. So,
right. The steeple. Yeah. I read an article where the Randall Tyson Track Center in Fayetteville is called the fastest track in the world. 3 years ago, produced the most NCAA qualifying marks for indoors with 107. And Iowa State was 11. Even though it's a 300 meter track and the Randall Tyson Center is 200 meters, but it's banked. You ran at Fayetteville, right?
Yes, I did. I have run
there. Is there something about the track that's faster, or is it just the competition there? What is your take on that?
I mean, I think it's definitely a good track. Like, but I think a lot of it has to do with getting the right people there.
Yeah.
So I think that like this weekend was like a totally stacked group of runners. And so it's going to set people up, whether they're at the lead or if they're in Arkansas. Like, if you've got that high caliber of people, like, people are going to run fast, you know? So I am biased. So I like the Iowa State indoor track better.
Because most people like the 300 as opposed to the 200 because you're not turning, you know,
nearly
as much. But there is something about Fayetteville that they people do produce a lot of great times. Yeah.
So
it is a fast track. It is a Mondo track. So
yeah.
That does make a difference. So,
yeah,
no doubt about that. Let's talk about the Milrose Gaines.
We had
Wesley Kiptoe there.
Uh-huh.
He's never really in it, but you have to, you know, you have to look at it and go, you know, he's running against pro guys, and it's a different ball game when you start running up against these guys who are setting national records for their country. It was a very fast race. He just didn't seem to get into it, get involved.
Yeah, I think it is always a shift. You know, Wesley comes in to university races, and a lot of times he's used to running in the front. You know, we're used to seeing Wesley leading the races and taking the lead from the gun, you know, and I think that it is a shift when that racing plan doesn't work, because he's with a phenomenal field of athletes and everything. So I think, at least in my mind, I obviously haven't talked to Wesley about this, but like, I think that would be a little bit of a shift in mindset, you know, like you're used to being in the front and you're not, but, and also
I guess one of the concerns I've got is that, you know, you have Connor Mance, who he was just competing against last fall.
Uh-huh.
Mance is 14 seconds ahead of him. You had Cole Hawker, Tier, like 16 seconds ahead of him.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Just out of Oregon as well. So they're almost collegians.
Yeah, no.
And Morgan Beaglescombe of Michigan State is the top collegian in this race. So it's a couple red flags there.
And I think sometimes too, like, I think that we have to remember too that, like, there's also just human error, you know? Like, I think we're so used to seeing Wesley and even Kaylee or whoever just like perform, come up, like, they have a race and they show up, you know? Like, it's, and you expect them to do really good. And like, then when they don't, it's like, oh my gosh, what happened? Like, was something wrong? Like, did they not, like, are they falling off? Like, what's going on? When like, it could have just been a not so great day, you know, like he could have just felt crappy. I have no idea how he felt, but it's like, there is some sort of human error, you know, like he can't always come out and win. And so I don't know what exactly happened, but I mean, it could be a number of things. It could be that, like, oh, he just wasn't feeling that great that on that day, or that maybe he's still coming around from his time off. You know, he probably just took a break because he ran a fast time in December. Was it December?
He ran that 5,000 right away in December.
Yeah. He probably took a break, and maybe he's coming back around from that, and he needed to like get that out of his system, or, you know, so I don't really know what happened, but those are just my thoughts.
Let's just hope it's a bad day.
The
issue is that he's outside the top 16 right now for the U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association. According to their rankings, he's just outside the top 16. So that time, not good enough for nationals. So
right,
that's the concern there. If he wants to double up with the 3 and the 5,
yeah. So hopefully, he'll run it at the Classic or something. Hopefully, there'll be a good field there or whatever. So.
Let's circle back to the Cyclone Open from last weekend. We talked about Kaylee's performance there, and Chad Johnson just missed running a sub 4 mile. Ran really well there, number 9 in Iowa State history for the mile. What did you see about him when you were on the roster?
Oh, Chad, yeah. I think that he came in and he contributed pretty quick off the bat. And then it was a little bit of a lull of a season for cross country for him this year, if I remember correctly. And so I think having that breakthrough race was exactly what he needed. He's a really good runner. He's he can contribute in a lot of different ways. And so I think that having him have that race, like in cross country, we weren't able to see how good he actually is. And so I think he's coming around that we'll see like the old Chad back, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, he beat Wesley in that mile run.
Yeah.
And Fog of Drake. So, I mean, that's, so he's definitely, I think he's looking to break 4 here. It looks like it, you know, it's going to happen for him.
Yeah.
So that's a really good sign for him. So,
yeah.
Got to ask you about Kiki Connell. She transferred from UNI to Iowa State over the winter break. I talked to Alexina Tubal, the UNI assistant coach. She was my podcast guest last week, and she didn't have a lot to say about it. Better to bite her tongue on that. Did you hear about that, or did you know much about it? She was easily UNI's number one runner.
To be completely honest, I don't know much about her. I don't in university, I don't really I don't know very many runners, to be completely honest with you. And so actually news to me too. I did not know that she was transferring. I hadn't heard anything from coach or anything. But it seems like the girls really enjoy her. She seems like a good fit for the team. But yeah, there's not much other than that I know, except from through the girls. You know, I don't know her times. I don't know her events or anything like that. So
she was 6th out of 7 Cyclones in the mile yesterday. So
yeah,
still broke 5, but. It seems like Iowa State's looking a lot more for transfers now under the Jeremy regime. It looks like they're willing to put their oars into the water there a lot more. Is that something, the philosophy change that you've seen?
I know that we've always been, coach has spent a lot of time like on the website with the transfer portal and everything. And I think that we've always been looking for transfers if they can contribute to our team, but it seems like there's been a lot more since I've been gone. And I think part of that is that just transferring has become so common. Yeah. Like people transfer like every day. There's someone new in the transfer portal. And my brother coaches wrestling at South Dakota State. And he talks about like, they will spend every day hours on the transfer portal. And so so it's totally changed everything. And so I think like, yeah, they're open to transfers and stuff, but I think more than anything, it's just more common now.
Yeah, you got to play the game. And that's one question I had for Alexina was, you know, UNI, which has been traditionally a 4-year program, you know, you come in, you stay the whole 4 years, whether they were going in that direction or not. That was one of my questions for her. So what are we looking at as far as their training right now? You're in the heart of the indoor season, about halfway through.
Yeah.
Where are they at in their training here? As we're still 3 weeks away from Big 12.
Well, they'll probably, this week they'll like recover from, this weekend, which they'll probably then have a couple hard workouts this week. Because I think they've got 2 weeks until the classic. Yep. And so this week they'll probably train normal and hard, and then they'll lay off a little bit for before the classic. Like their Tuesday workout will be a little bit lower mileage. It'll be more race specific. And then the classic will be Friday, Saturday. And then it's like, then it's another week, and then Big 12's week. So they're going to try to get in some hard workouts for sure this week. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay. As always, great stuff from you, Abby.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you again after the classic.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Abby.
Bye.
Back to the results, and the Friday Night Lights was held at Hoover Fieldhouse, hosted by Wartburg College in Waverly. I'm going to lead off with 2 mile races, where it was the women's mile was won by Northern Iowa freshman Sophia Jungling. Jungling runs a personal best time of 5:01.93 to win a very competitive women's mile. Jungling is a former Applington Parkersburg prep who, in my conversation last week with Alexina Tuple, she did not mention Sophia. So this is a really nice step up for her, getting this effort and knocking off not only a couple of Wartburgs, maybe their top two runners for the mile, but also her teammate, Kate Crawford. It was Aubrey Fisher of Wartburg, the former AGWSR prep, who was one of the stars for the Knights during the cross-country season. She was runner-up in 5:05.04. So a pretty solid victory by Jungling there. And then there was Riley Meyer, former Fort Dodge St. Edmund prep, who was third for the Knights in 5:06.65 there. In fourth place, as I mentioned, was Kate Crawford. She still ran a personal best time. I think Crawford is probably more of a distance runner, goes toward more of the longer distances. So a good effort there by the former Guthrie Center prep of 5:07.60. for fourth. Then it was Ellie Meyer of Wartburg in fifth in 5:12.27. She is a freshman, former Iowa Falls Alden prep. Then it was Alexis Brown of Wartburg in sixth, 5:12.93. She's a junior, former New London prep there. Caroline McMartin of Central was seventh in 5:13.98. She's a sophomore and Appella native. Jill Van Am of Northern Iowa with a personal best time of 5:14.14 for eighth place there. She's a former Pocahontas area prep in Northwest Iowa. And then Natalie Paulson of Wartburg was ninth, 5:15.35. She's a former Dallas Center Grimes prep. So a lot of good women's competition there in that 1 mile. And the men's 1 mile also brought out a lot of Wartburg and Central College's best runners, and it was the Dutch's Will DeHaan who got the only victory for Central in the meet, and it was an impressive one for the former Central DeWitt star. DeHaan runs 4:13.08. That time puts him solidly in there for NCAA indoor consideration. That puts him right in that ballpark to make indoor nationals. So great win by him. He ends up winning by more than 6 seconds over Wartburg's Ali Ali. The junior and former Iowa City West prep runs 4:19.91. Then it was Central's Adam Sylvia, a junior, was third in 4:19.94. These are all really good times for Division III products, by the way. Anytime you can break 4:20. Wartburg's Sam Madsen was fourth in 4:20.65. Then Nick Henry in fifth in 4:21.18. And then Central also had a their third runner was Noah Jorgensen, the sophomore and former Sydney prep, in 4:22.53. Then it was more Wartburg, Connor Lanciel, freshman, former Council Bluffs Lewis Central prep, in 4:22.79 for seventh place. Then I love this name, Frosty Lorimore. There, you don't have any Frosties anymore. That's just an awesome name. Congratulations to his parents for naming him that. Maybe it was a nickname that stuck. I don't know. But the former Springville runner and a senior ran 4:23.46 for eighth. And then Central also had Kenny Cronin in ninth in 4:24.14. So high-level stuff there in that men's mile. High-level as well for the men's 3,000 by the winner. It was Wartburg College standout and senior Joe Freeberger. The former Western Dubuque prep dominates this, running 8:23.27 for the 3K. To defeat his teammate, Morgan Shirley Fairbairn, by more than 20 seconds. Fairbairn ran 8:44.09 to look at the back of Freeberger's jersey there for most of that race. Sam Schmitz, former Johnston High prep, taking third place in 8:51.59 for Wartburg. And then Northern Iowa was led by Peyton Mars in fourth place. The former Urbandale prep and sophomore for the Panthers ran 8:54.18. The men's 800 meters, we're going to wrap up the men's races here. You had Wyatt Schmidt of Wartburg College who took the victory in 1:56.92. He is a northeast of Preston runner, way up in northeast Iowa. He's a junior for the Knights. He topped Northern Iowa's Ben Dahlmiller, the former Urbandale High runner. Dahlmiller runs 1:58.19 to take runner-up honors in that one. I will have to say, though, that Northern Iowa was without their top, at least their top runner here in this 800 meters. The women's 800, Lily Campbell of Wartburg ends up taking the victory. The former Waukee High runner and sophomore for the Knights, 2:17.43. She topped Northern Iowa's Ariana Kimbrough. Kimbrough, 2:18.11 was her time in runner-up honors. She's a former senior Falls High runner who stayed in town to run for the Panthers. And then in third was Carson McSorley of Wartburg College, the junior and former New London athlete. 2:18.82 was her time. The women's 3,000, Wartburg gets another victory here. Shaylin Hostager, the sophomore and former Dubuque Hempstead runner. Her time was 2:39.41. A really good finish with her and Maya Rampton of Northern Iowa. Hostager wins by 0.18 of a second. So great finish there over 3,000 meters. She topped Rampton. Rampton's time, 2:39.59. And she is a redshirt junior and a former Dubuque senior athlete there. Wartburg is doing really well right now. If you're looking at qualifying nationals, you've got Freeberger, who's solidly there in the top five, as well as Christopher Collett. He's third for the mile for Wartburg, qualifying for indoors. And Wyatt Schmidt is also in the top five in the 800. And Aubrey Fisher and Riley Meyer are in the top five, qualifying for indoors in the 5,000. So Wartburg's doing good with nationals about a month away there. The Adidas Classic was held at the Bob Devaney Center in Lincoln, Nebraska. Moving on to that one. And great to see this guy back in action and running well for University of South Dakota. That's Murga Gamita, the former Sioux City North runner. He ended up winning the 3,000 meters there in a personal best time of 8:23.72. And for Murga, that time puts him fifth
all time in Coyotes history, Coyotes program history. So fantastic running for Murga, who, you know, was gone at the end of the cross country season. I'm not sure whether he got COVID or what the story was there, whether he got injured, but, he's back and, running with authority here, at that Adidas Classic. Another victory for another Iowan, Riley Bauer of South Dakota State, took the victory in the men's 800 at the Cornhuskers track. He ends up running 153.28 to hold off, among others, Dylan Blake of South Dakota. And Dylan was fourth, 155.21. And he's a second-year freshman from Maple Valley, Anthony Otto. By the way, Bauer is a former North Union of Bancroft runner. It was the Jacks against the Coyotes. And in that men's 800, it was the Jacks who got the victory there with Bauer. On the women's mile, let's see, it was former Valley High runner Helen Gold, running for South Dakota, who ended up fourth in that mile. She runs 4:58.70, really nice time for Helen, sophomore for the Coyotes. She was topped only by, well, a South Dakota State runner, Kaylee Peterson, a Wichita State runner, and a South Dakota State runner. So that was all the runners who beat her, but it was Kaylee Peterson of South Dakota State with the win in 4:46.15. But Helen breaks 5 minutes, so good run there for the third-year sophomore. She also doubled up in the 800, by the way. She finished sixth in that 800 in 2:17.97 in a race that was won by her junior South Dakota teammate Haley Ahrens in 2:16.43. And in the men's mile, Jacob Waymeyer, former Dallas Center Grimes prep, ends up 12th, running 4:24.50. Waymeyer's a sophomore for the University of South Dakota. I'm going to stay with Division I, finish those results off before I move on to NAIA action. At the Clemson Bob Pollock Invitational, Liberty University was there, and it was Anna and Marie Hostetler, the Hostetler sisters, who are former Mid-Prairie preps, running for Isaac Wendland, former Charles City great. Anyway, they finished 11th and 13th. Anna, a junior for Liberty, she ran 4:55.70. In that women's 1 mile to finish 11th. And then Marie, a freshman for Liberty, she was 13th in 5:08.3 in a race that was won by Maudie Skyring of Florida State in a really strong 4:36.75 effort there. And then at the Lenny Lyles Invitational in Louisville on Saturday, you had former Iowa State runner Milo Gretter. He transferred to the University of Cincinnati. Milo ends up running fourth place in that 3,000, running 8:16.16. And that was a race won by his Cincinnati teammate, Tyler Worth, in 8:09.46. Milo is from Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, specifically. And he transferred to Cincinnati this academic season. On to Davenport, St. Ambrose, the Fighting Bee Invitational, first of a couple NAIA meets to look at here. The Roll Indoor Track. In the men's mile, it was history, a setting effort by Isaiah Whitrock of Grandview. The senior and native of Richland broke his own Grandview record by placing second overall in the men's mile in 4:15.88. Very strong time for Isaiah. Nice running by the, well, they got him listed in the results as a junior, but on their website it's a senior, so he must be a senior academically. anyway, he almost took the victory. It was between him and St. Francis's Omar Paramo at the line. Paramo got him on the lean, 0.02 of a second ahead of Whitrock. But Isaiah gets the thrill, of course, of setting his own school record, breaking his own record. Finishing fourth for Grandview, not far behind, was Ben Huftelin, senior from Osage, was fourth in 4:18.62. And then Trevor Albert, who is an Eldon native near Ottumwa, he was fifth in 4:19.17. The men's 3,000, another, it was a victory for Grandview. Sam Mickelson, the former Hawkeye Community College runner, transferred to Grandview this year. He's doing very well with the Vikings. He runs 8:37.21 to get the NAIA automatic qualifying mark for indoor nationals. So congratulations to the sophomore. And he's almost an Iowan. He's from East Dubuque, Illinois, just across the Mississippi River. He topped Nolan Rudd of St. Ambrose by about 3 seconds. Rudd, a senior, ran 8:40.7. And then former Central College runner Eli Miller, who was running unattached, he ended up third in 8:45.74. I want to circle back to Nolan Rudd, by the way. He broke the St. Ambrose school record by 7 seconds. And like Mickelson, he got the A standard for indoor nationals. And Rudd, having a great senior year, he not only sets this school record easily, but he also has the 8K record for cross country as well. In the men's 800 meters, it was Carter Heiser of Grandview who earned Heart of America Runner of the Week honor, if you will. Heiser did by taking the victory in the 800 in 1:55.45. Good run there. The junior, he is from Oskaloosa, also by Ottumwa. He's a sophomore for Grandview. He held off his senior teammate, Ben Huftelin, who ran 1:57.59, and Huftelin is from Osage. In the 1,000 meters, it was Hawkeye Community College that had a good run from Stephen Thomas, a freshman. He was runner-up in 2:33.97. Just 0.57 of a second behind the winner, St. Francis's Pedro Ocampo. The 5,000, really good effort here as well by Hawkeye Community College freshman D'Artan Beaver. Beaver got the victory in 15:43.49. He defeated a couple of the Running Wild elite athletes out of Davenport. It was Keith Sands, who just got edged by Beaver. Sands ran 15:44.04 for second place, and then Warren Clarita, also of the Running Wild elite team, was third in 15:51. In the women's 800, I want to mention not only the 800, but the 1,000. It was a double victory for Andrea Ertz of Mount Mercy, the senior and former Marion Prep. She won the... I got to believe she ran the 1,000 first because it was a much more impressive performance here. 2:55.86, she runs the 1,000 to get that victory. She easily cruised past St. Francis runner by almost 4 seconds there to get the victory. And in that 1,000, Emma Hoynes, former Waverly Shell Rock Prep, who now is at Hawkeye Community College, she was third in 3:03.12. Like I said, Ertz also won the 800 meters. 2:21.05 was her time. And Hoynes, running both as well, was runner-up in that 800 meters in 2:24.75. So they've crossed paths a couple times, Ertz and Hoynes. during this indoor season already, and I know for cross country as well. On to the Mount Marty Invitational in Yankton, South Dakota, and the Dort men just keep cranking out really strong efforts. You had Peyton Malden and Jebediah Merkel, who both met the automatic qualifying marks for NAIA Nationals in the 1000. Malden, a sophomore, and George, Iowa native, took the victory in a time of 2:30.27. According to Dort Sports Information, that's fourth nationally among NAIA runners. And he's having just an excellent indoor season. He's now qualified for NAIA Nationals in the 400, 600, 800, and 1000. Merkel, who was just a tenth of a second behind in 2:30.37, he's seated fifth for NAIA Indoor Nationals, and he's also qualified in the 800 Indoor Nationals already. In fourth place in that 1,000 meters was Isaiah Lee of Northwestern College, a senior, ran 2:33.04 in that race. Dort's 4x8 also met the A standard for NAIA Nationals. It was Malden, Dayton Brunsting, Lance Van Zee, and Cole Zevenbergen who got the job done, taking the victory in the 4x8 in 7:53.7. They won by over 5 seconds. That time is second fastest for NAIA so far this season. Brunsting is a freshman from Hull, and Zevenbergen is from Rock Valley. So a lot of Iowa ties on that relay. Joe Anderson from George, he is also was a victor for Dort. He captured the mile title in 4:18.8, edging three of his teammates in this race. Eric Steiger ran 4:19.5, Trey Engen 4:21.8, and Davis Tevin 4:24. Anderson already had the A standard in the mile, while Steiger and Engen, they got the provisional mark in that mile effort there. And I did want to mention also that Engen is from Algona. He's from Algona up there. The 3,000 meters, Morningside picked up a victory from Roe Pascal. The senior ran 8:52.56 to top the field there. And that we'll move on to the women's events now. And Dort also has a tremendous 4x8 on the women's side. And it was their victorious relay there that also got the A standard for NAIA Nationals, running 9:29.24 to win by more than 7 seconds. And the relay members were Emily Heinen, a freshman from Sioux Center, Bethany Tenhaken, Anne-Marie Stute, and Mika Koistra. And that 9:29.24 not only gets them the A standard, it's also the best time in the NAIA so far this winter. Heinen and Koistra also went 1-2 in the 600 meters at Mount Marty. Heinen ran 1:36.6, which is the fastest time in the NAIA, and Koistra 1:36.9. You guessed it, is second in the nation there. Finishing third for Northwestern College was Abigail Clark. A junior ran 1:37.6. She was third. And then Anne-Marie Stute, she was fourth. She was fourth place for Dort there. And then got to mention her, this woman here, Jessica Campman. She continues to have a great indoor season. She took the victory in the mile. The junior ran 5:12.24 to win by more than 10 seconds. That time is good for the B standard for NAIA Nationals. So she maybe have a little more room to improve to get that A standard there. In the women's 1,000, you had Northwestern getting a victory here. They got one from Morgan Marker. She is a senior and a former Rock Valley athlete. She ran 305.28 to hold off Morningside senior Emily Funderman. Funderman ran 306.06. And she is, Funderman is from Anthon, Iowa. Both of them are in, I'd say, decent shape to make NAIA Nationals at this point. The Bark Shuck Open was hosted by Division II Minnesota State in Mankato, Minnesota, and got some results from the host school as well as Indian Hills. In the men's mile, it was Indian Hills sophomore Nick O'Connor who ended up getting a national qualifying mark with a 422.47 time to finish eighth place in that race. O'Connor is a former Clear Creek Amana athlete. If you adjust his time, it's 419 for JUCO purposes. The winner was Augustana's Ryan Hartman in 411.72. Then Indian Hills' men's distance medley relay set a school record and also earned a national qualifying time of 10:22.01. So they're well on their way to Nationals, JUCO Nationals. The relay members there were Annie Acock of Ames, Kendrick Winfield, Rivaldo Marshall, and O'Connor. Those were the four. And the men's 5,000, you had a couple really strong efforts here. You've got, for Indian Hills, you've got the third and fourth fastest time in school history in the men's 5,000. Isaac Bryant, a former Grinnell Newberg prep, was third in, seventh overall in that 5K race in 15:48.08. And then Chris Metz was eighth, his teammate, right behind, well, not right behind, but he ran 16:03. And that, like I said, is the fourth fastest time in school history for Indian Hills. In the men's 1,000, it was Brady Milliken of Indian Hills who was fifth in 236.19. That's what he ran, Milliken did. He's a former Pekin of Packwood prep. Right behind him was Carter Owen of Minnesota State, the freshman and former West Des Moines Valley prep, ran 236.89. In the men's 600, Indian Hills had a second and third place finish from Dorian Craven. Sophomore ran 123.14, and his freshman teammate Ronaldo Rock was third in 123.46. In the women's competitions here, the women's mile, Mackenzie Garrity. She ran a couple races for Minnesota State. She was 11th in the mile in 5:15.13, and then she also finished 6th in the 3,000 meters in 10:21.74. She is a junior for Minnesota State and a former Dubuque senior prep and Iowa Central runner as well. Then we're going to keep it on Division II as well to the Jayhawk Classic, hosted by the University of Kansas at the Anschutz Sports Pavilion. Northwest Missouri State University was there, and it was Reese Smith who breezed to the victory there. He won the 3,000 by more than 23 seconds. The former Garner Hayfield prep ran 8:25.41, which according to Missouri State converts to an 8:19.6 time. So again, nice to see Reese Smith running well after his fall was completely lost. Didn't run at all during cross-country season. He ended up winning like I said, by more than 23 seconds over an unattached runner there. And that was really the only result there from Lawrence to speak of. West Texas A&M had a good performance in the men's mile from Innocent Marwana Shika. The former Iowa Central runner ran a PR of 418.56 to finish sixth there at Lubbock. Swinging back to Iowa, University of Dubuque held the Spartan Invitational, and Loras College had a couple results that were really impressive here. Ryan Harvey set a new facility record in the 3,000 meters, running 831.53, so congratulations to Harvey. And then his teammate Wyatt Kelly was runner-up in that race in 833.29, and well, that's fourth place all-time on Loras's list there by Wyatt Kelly. Kelly, by the way, is a junior from Hudson. On to the Washburn Open in Kansas, hosted by that university there. Iowa Western was competing there. They had a few notable results to mention. Sheridan Richardson of the Reavers, she set a facility record. Unfortunately, she finished second, so she won't get credit for that facility record, but that 124.95 time was under the mark of 125.41 set a year ago. And like I said, unfortunately, she got beat by Washburn's Chia Okoro for that facility record. Okoro ran 124.1 for the victory, but Richardson, that 124.95 ends up second in the 600-yard run. They ran yards in that race. The men's 800, Jonas Mogos of Iowa Western finished third in 155.34 in a race won by Oklahoma Christian's Dylan Burrows in 152.18. In the women's mile, this was really interesting because you had Iowa Western with a second and fifth place, but it was a newcomer, Hilda Chibet of the Reavers, who was that second place runner in 504.56. And finishing fifth was their standout from cross-country season, Mercy Bewatt. Bewatt was fifth in 521.64. So not sure if she's just working her way into shape or what's going on, but that seems a little slow for a runner of her caliber in that race. That was a race, by the way, won in 501.88. by a Lincoln Running Club athlete, Elsa Forsberg. And in the men's distance medley, it was Iowa Western's medley that, ended up breaking the meet record, but it didn't hold, of course, because they finished third, but still, that time would have beat the meet record set by Fort Hays State a year ago. Their 9:59.41 time, good for third, and like I said, it would have been 2 seconds faster than Fort Hays State. But the team that beat him was pretty good. Tulsa, University of Tulsa, ran 9:52.30 to get that facility record. The Iowa Western runners on that relay were Nicholas Kippertich, Andrew Brown, DeAndre Williams, and Jonas Mogos. So that was it for Iowa Western there at Washburn. And wrapping it up with Iowa Central here at the Jack Johnson Classic, hosted by the University of Minnesota. In the women's mile, they had one really good effort here by Chloe Garcia Grafing. Grafing finished sixth in that race in 5:14.87. Really strong time there by Chloe. And that is your lot for the week. Coming up next weekend, you have Iowa State is off. They're off as they get ready for their own Iowa State Classic Super Bowl weekend in 2 weeks. But Iowa, you and I and Drake will all be in action at the Frank Savine Husker Invitational in Lincoln on Friday and Saturday. And Iowa also will have a split squad. They'll have some runners at the Mayo Invitational in South Bend, Indiana. So that's what you've got there. So for folks who are fans of my blog at the Des Moines Register site, I am going to have kind of a comprehensive breakdown of all of January's indoor meets results there, and that's coming out this week. So look for that. I just decided to do one big old blog for the whole entire month of January, so that's coming out this week, so you can look forward to that. And I'll have a lot more indoor results next weekend. Until then, happy running, everyone.